Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host Ross Edwards and today is the third episode in my Christmas series. Today we're going to be talking about Christmas symbols. Welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host Ross Edwards, author, coach and podcaster. We cover deep insights into your psychology, helping you grow in psyche and spirit. Make sure to subscribe to Deep Psychology on Spotify or Apple to stay up to date. You can also visit the website deep-psychology.com, visited by tens of thousands of people every month, for lots of free resources. If you want to go deeper with this work, you might like to do coaching with me. Head to the website for more details. It's time for today's episode. So just a heads up before we get started, I'm not at home and I don't have my usual equipment, and so this is a little bit of a, you know, a homemade job, but so you might hear background noise, the quality might not be as good, but you know, it gives the episode a different feel as well. And yeah, ultimately we're going to be delving deep here, and next week I'll be back with a more sort of ordinary produced podcast sound. So today we're talking about Christmas symbols. To continue with this episode on Christmas, and this is again, like everything I've said, it's sort of a controversial topic and one that people have a lot of strong opinions about. And so I think I should lay out quite clearly and concisely what my basic approach here is, because if I don't and then I start saying what I'm going to say, you might be wondering what I've been smoking or you know, something along those lines. So I just want to say I'm not going to be sitting here regurgitating the Bible. I'm not a Christian. I'm not doing this to promote the Christian faith necessarily. I mean, I certainly, as I've mentioned this month, there's certainly elements of the Christmas faith. See, I'm using that word so often now that I'm just going to be, it's going to be like a Freudian slip. Christmas. I'm not advocating the Christian faith necessarily. There's elements that I really like about it, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't like about Christianity. And I'm not here to promote the Christian faith. I also want to say that I'm interpreting, you know, everything we're talking about this month is really on a symbolic, mystical level. We'll talk about exactly what symbols are in spirituality from this point of view. And ultimately, it's not about belief. You know, people might say, well, you're going to talk about what the Virgin Mary means, baby Jesus means, a star means, a Christmas star. You know, and I am, but I'm not going to be just telling you the myths and sort of the accepted story that people tell children and stuff like that. I'm really not interested in that. And it's all from I don't want to use the word deeper in a sort of patronizing way, but it's in a more, I suppose it is deeper. It's in a more embodied spiritual way rather than just the regurgitation of myths, basically, which is quite honestly what most of religion is about. So, as I've said, let's now move into the symbols themselves, and we're only going to be covering three because, wow, if I really wanted to cover all of the main Christmas symbols, we could be here all day, and I just, you know, I have to narrow it down at some point. And what I hope is that by covering these three symbols, you're going to get like the 80-20. So I'm going to cover like the 20% of the symbols that explain 80% of everything. And if you're interested in any other symbols, you'll be able to then piece together or form, you know, have an informed opinion about what the symbol represents on this level, based on what we've spoke about this month, and based on the the comments I've made about these symbols. I also want to say that a lot of this is my sort of interpretation. It's my relationship to these symbols. It's a reflection of my spiritual path. It's a reflection of how I have come to understand them. And most of this is just through, shall we say, practicing with the symbols, allowing the symbols to work on me and evoke something. Now, obviously, I grew up in the UK, so I was exposed to Christianity at some level from, you know, for pretty much all of my life. And so obviously that will be in the background somewhere, even though I didn't really have a very religious upbringing whatsoever. And, you know, I have studied a little bit of kind of esoteric Christianity. Not that much, but enough. And I've been around sort of esoteric Christian organisations, but I'm not just sitting here sort of regurgitating their conclusions either, or just kind of passing on, you know, how you should see them. I'm expressing my connection, and I'm trying to kind of give you some reasons why that is the connection I have, and hopefully this will evoke something in you that's beyond just, you know, having to believe what I'm saying. Because, as we'll talk about later, symbols are really an invitation. But before we do that, let's talk about the three symbols we're going to talk about today. Are the star, the Christmas star, baby Jesus, and the Virgin Mary. And because these are sort of, they're, some of these are more controversial than others, so I'm going to start with the least controversial, because this will give you a nice sort of window in, like an on-ramp into this conversation. Because if I just start with the Virgin Mary, you might just turn off and be like, Ross, you fucking lost your mind. So let's talk about the Christmas star first of all. So what the star represents for me is really just your true nature. Sort of like, it's you know, it's like a gem, it's a jewel. It sort of represents the ultimate culmination, the ultimate nature of things. You know, essentially, a star is something that as humans from Earth we look up to, you know, and that it seems above us, and it feels like it's sort of looking over us. So when we use a star to represent something, obviously we're sort of, it's not that we're putting that thing on a pedestal, it's something that's highly valued, and it's something that is excellent. And so for me, this is what it spiritually represents. It means the highest realization is represented by the star. It also, you know, just because of the colour and the light, it represents goodness, fullness, brightness, love, and joy, which are basically sort of some of the qualities that a person comes to embody quite naturally, to varying degrees, but it's a pretty consistent trend. When a person begins to realise their true nature on some level, these qualities tend to shine through. Notice I've just used another star metaphor, shine through. And you might ask, well, what is your true nature? And we discussed this last week, actually, when we talked about what is Jesus, what is Christ. You know, I went into a bit of detail what your true nature is, but just to put it really concisely here, before you go back and listen to that one, your true nature is basically the ultimate essence of everything that you have ever experienced, perceived, or known. Now, obviously, to the average person, you think, well, how does everything have an ultimate essence? Well, this is just something you have to kind of train and develop a taste for. And the star, you know, the fact that stars are above the Earth, it has a deeper significance in this case as well, because the ultimate nature of things, it's not hitting you over the head and saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. No, it's something you have to develop a taste for. It's kind of behind everything. It's sort of there, underlying everything, but not immediately obvious unless you train yourself, unless you develop a taste for it. And so, you know, it has that kind of distant sort of ethereal quality to it, like a star does. You know, you can't really grasp a star, you know, because it's so far away, and it feels kind of unknowable in a certain way. And I think your true nature has that thing about it as well. You know, obviously, you can have greater moments of clarity where you realise it's really not hidden from you at all, but generally, it has that about it, which is why, unfortunately, most people never consciously realise their true nature. And overall, the star just basically represents the deeper truth, the highest truth, and the ultimate reference point. And that is what it evokes in me when I see the star. It's kind of like a reminder. It's kind of like, are you remembering, Ross, what is the ultimate truth of things? What is the ultimate truth of you? And it has this kind of inspiring effect, but also kind of a startling effect. You know, it's very powerful and potent. So, the baby Jesus, just, you know, moving on from the star, we're now going to talk about the baby Jesus and what that represents, because, you know, if we're talking about Christmas and we're not talking about Jesus, we're doing something wrong. So I've covered different aspects of this topic earlier in the month, and this is another sort of facet of it that we haven't touched yet. So the baby Jesus, what does this represent? How I kind of understand this is it basically symbolizes the felt human experience of your true nature. So let me explain, right? In my recent book, which is basically in production at the moment and is getting released next year, plug, I say that life is the ongoing flow of your experience, and there's nothing outside your experience, and you can't know anything outside your experience. Now, where does the baby Jesus part come in? You know, where does this come in? Well, it's, you know, one thing about babies is because they don't really have a developed conceptual mind, they don't have developed identity, they don't have a life history, they can't really plan or think or worry or these things. They have, and this is something that adults often comment on, they have a presence, like an effortless presence about them, an effortless of awakeness about them. Now, as a meditator and as like someone who's really interested in psychology and does coaching and stuff, I wouldn't say this is an embodied presence. It's kind of, it's more like a background presence that gets filled later on in life, and it should get filled so that you can develop an identity and do all your adult stuff, and then after you do all that you can then embody it. So babies embody it, but not in a conscious way. And what they are more in touch with is basically that the ongoing flow is constantly renewing, and it's fully self-aware. Again, I need to be aware of what I'm saying when I say that babies are aware, because they're not aware of it in the way that like a seasoned meditator is, but it's like they are with the ongoing flow of their experience. There's not a filter there. There's not a self there telling lots of stories, and there's not, you know, like there's just not all this filtering going on. And when you tap into that as an adult, when you tap into that kind of bare presence as an adult, it has this feeling of being wondrous, of being refreshing, and even of being humbling. And so what baby Jesus really represents to me is it symbolizes purity, it symbolizes nowness, and it symbolizes as well, very important, not knowing. Because babies, they don't know very much. And I don't say that as a judgmental thing. In fact, in many ways, it's a good thing. But they don't know very much, and they shouldn't. That's just the developmental level they're at. And that comes back when you start to have mystical insight. That not knowing, I wouldn't say it comes back. That's a bit, again, that's like confusing being a baby with being a mystic. It's really not the same thing. But not knowing strengthens. Whether it's the same not knowing or not, I'm hesitant to say. But not knowing comes back, because when you're in the present and when you see through all your mental constructs and you see through the ego and you see through your own, basically the own veils you have to non-duality, which is pretty much everything that you've done in your life is a veil to some degree, that you actually don't know on a very profound level the most basic, even sort of the most basic questions about life. You actually don't really know the answer. You can have superficial answers. And I'm not saying you should give up superficial answers just so you can function in life. But there is like a deeper recognition. It's like when you're really fully in touch with the ongoing flow of your own experience, it's like all your mental constructs go away and you're just left with the bare present. And it actually doesn't have any explanation, really. You know, things don't really have an explanation at the deepest level, as far as I'm concerned. And also what the baby represents, baby Jesus, is the loss of dependence on the symbolic mind. So, as I said, babies don't really have a symbolic mind. I'm not a huge child development person, but I know enough to say they don't have much of a symbolic mind. It's not very technically, you know, precise, but it's good enough. And so, you know, the image of a calm, sort of innocent, sleeping baby is a metaphor for it's a metaphor for what it's like to hold mystical truth and to lose dependence on the symbolic mind and to fully realize what the symbolic mind is. And what the symbolic mind is basically doing a lot of the time is taking you away from your basic, fully embodied experience, which is making you pretty miserable. And this is one of the amazing but difficult truths. Initially, it's difficult. One of the amazing truths you will discover through doing spiritual work. Alright everyone, so it's not getting any easier for me. We've had the Christmas star, we've had the baby Jesus, and we're now going to talk about the Virgin Mary. So I've left the best till last. However, it's actually very simple. Like, and it's fairly obvious once you sort of get a taste for it and you sort of become used to seeing it in this way. And I'm not saying that so that you just believe me and you just say, well, Ross has got the right interpretation. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is what I'm pretty sure it really means. Okay, so, and it's quite simple. The Virgin Mary just represents your true nature. And particularly it represents oneness and the inexplicability of, you know, creation, of moment-to-moment experience. Think about the fact that she's a virgin, and this is like even this one point is like a huge sort of historic and cultural kind of, in many ways it's kind of like a tricky topic to discuss. The fact that she's a virgin, you know, what we think that means as humans is that she didn't have sex so that Jesus could be born. And it means that if we want to be good Christians, we shouldn't have sex until we're married. Now, listen, I think that's total bullshit, but I'm not going to go into that. What the Virgin really means is that basically your experience is self-renewing. Your ongoing, the ongoing flow of your experience, the ongoing expression of spirit, the ongoing expression of your true nature is, there's not two involved. So there's not like a cause and an effect. There's not, you know, there's not a before and an after. Everything just is spirit moving it is all spirit. There's not a secondary factor. There's not a secondary cause. Now, obviously, on the relative level, we can analyse things and look at things as cause and effect. Right, I'm not saying we abandon that. What I'm saying is, in terms of your experience, your perception, and on a spiritual kind of level, shall we say, that your experience is self-renewing. The expression of spirit just happens spontaneously without the need for, you know, any other factor. That is why it's virgin. That's why, and the thing about, the birth itself could be interpreted in several ways, and I've actually written articles about that. But in terms of her being a mother, that is actually a very important point that is exactly related to the Virgin Mary beyond the birth itself, beyond the nativity. What the mother part of it means is that basically everything is born of spirit, and spirit gives birth to everything. It's really as simple as that. There is only one true nature, and it is the true nature of absolutely everything. And it gives birth to everything, quote unquote. These are metaphors, right? I'm not saying spirit is lying on a hospital bed with its legs open. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying everything comes from spirit, and it passes into spirit, and it's just a cycle, an endless cycle. And that mothering aspect is very important. And I think what the mothering, the fact that it's a woman, and there's not some sort of male metaphor, barring sort of cultural factors, which are certainly a factor, but that's not important for this talk. What sort of evokes in me is the sense of sort of creativity, of fullness, of emotion, of mothering, of containing, of nourishing. That's sort of what I take from the fact that she's, the Virgin Mary is a woman. It's like, it has that sort of feminine, caring, nourishing, and sort of creative and alive aspect to it. And spirit, the expression of spirit, is absolutely alive. It's not some stoic man studying mathematics and calculating existence into being. No, it is spontaneously birthed into being, quote unquote unquote, because it's all metaphorical. But that is really just what the Virgin Mary is. It's very simple. Your true nature is ultimately completely empty of absolutely anything, but it also is everything at the same time. So it's, there is no need for, you know, at the same, in one sense it's an empty container, in another sense it is just, it's completely giving birth to absolutely everything, moment to moment to moment, without the need for anything else, with nothing happening behind the scenes. So I think we've done the hard bit, which is, you know, what do these symbols mean? Let's talk now about, you know, how do you relate to this? You know, how do you take this from just, well, this is a nice idea Ross has, and try to sort of connect with the spirit of what I'm saying here. And I'm not, again, I really want you to listen. I'm not trying to get you just to believe me. I'm just sort of pointing you in the right direction, or what I think is the right direction. I may be wrong, but if you listen to what I'm saying, you take it on board and you do this work that we're about to talk about right now, you might understand what I'm pointing to and why I am pointing to it in that way. First of all, it's really important that you just have to let go of all of your ideas about these symbols. You know, even if you're not a Christian, I mean, listen, if you are an actual practicing Christian, I really doubt that you're listening to me right now. So that's kind of irrelevant. If you're not a Christian, you might just have like a sort of dead relationship to these things. You know, the Star of Christmas might not mean very much to you. The Virgin Mary, you might just not care. Right, but even that apathy and that sort of detachment, that itself is you have a relationship to it. You have to let go of all your relationships to these things in order for something new to come on. And I can promise you, if you reach something like a symbolic and sort of inductive relationship to symbols, religious, spiritual symbols, you will realise it's a lot more beautiful than just dismissing them, okay? That you have to be aware of everything that's in your mind regarding these symbols, otherwise you're not going to develop a genuine relationship to them. I'm not saying you give up, you know, I'm not saying you give up your scientific frames. I'm not saying you just naively accept the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to be very aware of your filters if you want to develop a genuine relationship. Once you've done that, what you've got to do really with symbols is let them work on you. You can't go in there and just sort of try and impose my ideas about what they are onto the symbol. You have to actually let them work on you. You sort of let them grab you. You let them inspire you. You sort of feel into them. Again, I'm using weird words here, but that's what it's like. It's like when you look at a painting and it speaks to you and it inspires you and it contains a message for you that perhaps you can't quite put into words, but it's certainly there. That's what it's like with symbols as well. They have a message in them. I've been trying to articulate that message, but to actually connect with it, you just got to open yourself up and you've got to let it in as though you're looking at a painting that has a message for you. I like to think of symbols as like guidance or inductors, pointers or invitations. So as they all have a message and they are inviting you in. They're inviting you to sort of share the reality of that message, okay? And you should see them like this as well. Even if you don't agree with my interpretations, this is what symbolic, this is what a symbolic sort of trans-rational, post-rational relationship to Christian symbols looks like, okay? So treat them as guidance, as pointers, as indicators, as invitations. Hold them in your heart and let them in and create space. So don't go in there as though you're like an art critic or something, and going in there and dissecting the sort of meaning and the history and the biblical interpretation. No, forget about that. You're creating more filters than those you already have if you're going in there and just interpreting things. I'm not saying your interpretations are wrong or not important. I'm just saying for the purposes of developing a genuine connection with these symbols, you must let go of that because, you're filtering and it's not going to hit you in, you know, between the eyes and in the heart. It's just going to remain it's remaining in the world of thought. And that's not what we're doing here, okay? And finally, I just want to say my words are only words. Like, take my words, if they make sense to you, good. If they help you understand what these symbols might be about and you can understand why I think that that's what they're about, good. But ultimately, again, I'm commenting on from my own point of view, which is imperfect. And ultimately, I can't have the relationship you have. No one's going to have the relationship you have to these symbols. So use the words as, you know, if you like them, use them as a guide, as a pointer, but then let go of that and find your own relationship and find your own reality with them, okay? Because that's ultimately what you're going to be left with is a connection that is uniquely yours to these symbols. All right, everyone, that was an interesting episode, not just the content, which is difficult enough, but doing it while outside without my usual equipment. But it's actually nice to do something a bit different, and maybe you'll hear me in a sort of raw state when my breathing isn't like fully controlled and you know, you're hearing things in the background and it's like you're next to me having a conversation, even though you can't talk. Haha. Listen, if you've got any questions, please reach out via the website. If you go to deep-psychology.com and hit contact, you can contact me there. And of course, I'm going to remind you that I do coaching and that I offer free 20-minute coaching sessions if you want to try one of them. You only get one free, by the way. If you like me and you decide you want to work with me, that's when you need to start paying. But the first one is always free. So, and I'd be really, yeah, honoured to meet you and to work with you. So I will be back. Oh my God, it's Christmas Eve in a week. No, it's not. It's Christmas Day in a week, because it's Thursday today. I will be back on Wednesday the 24th, which is Christmas Eve, with the final episode in this series, because, one, I'm going on holiday on the 29th till the 6th of January, and I won't be able to do an episode that week, and I want a break, thank you very much. And also because Christmas will have come and gone, and so my series will be obsolete for another year. So I think that's all. Thanks for tuning in. And I will see you next week, next Wednesday, for the final installment in this series. Thanks, everyone.